Chairperson, good morning, honourable members, good morning, colleagues. I received the apology of Mr. Honourable Mlaotsi and also the apology of Honourable Mwabe and the apology of Honourable Mwabe is attending the interviews of Inspector General and then the apology of Honourable Khoza, who is engaged with the examinations.
Honourable Chan.
I'd like to, on Mr. Kruger's behalf, apologise to him. He is at a by-election in Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. The purpose of this meeting is to deal with the minutes of the 2nd of November, the consideration and adoption of the DFI workshop report, as well as the consideration and the adoption of the KZN oversight report, which was undertaken on the 14th and 15th of September. Can we start with the minutes?
I forgot to apologize that I was asked to leave the meeting at 25 past 12 for another meeting at 12:30.
Sure. Oops. Thank you. We are on page 1 of the minutes.
Page 2, Chair, I just need to understand on the second paragraph, the second line. I think there's some corrections there where it says the shortcoming of the previous workshop, where limited DFIs had been invited to the workshop, was raised, shall this include, which may be included, but not limited to the pace and speed, at which the recommendations have been recommended. Just that sentence. It needs some corrections. Especially before that, that part it says the shortcoming of the previous workshop, where limited DFIs had been invited to the workshop, was raised. Maybe it's a limited number of DFIs or that, I don't know, but just a idea.
Right.
And then
limited number. Mm-hmm.
And then include can be includes that, and then after not limited to, just put a comma there, and then the pace and speed, that's not speedy, and that all.
Page 1.
I'm reading page 3. Sorry about this.
Okay.
Page 3, second paragraph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Subheading 5.
Yes.
Okay. Second paragraph.
Yeah.
Second sentence.
Yes. There was a general consensus. Yeah.
Okay. The second sentence. The shortcoming of the previous workshop way limited number.
Limited number,
correct. We include number. I'm not going
to try to correct this. It would say the shortcoming of the previous workshop where limited the number of DFIs had been invited to the workshop. Was raised sharply. You just input that before DFI is limited number.
And the second sentence
is includes, if I'm not mistaken, but a 7F there, but not limited to. And I would just prefer to put a comma after not limited to. And then the pace and speed, not speedy, at which the recommendations are.
make sure that in that paragraph where it says limited DFE, DFI, it includes the fact that banks were not there. Right?
Correct.
It doesn't. Have you added that?
Correct. There is where we say
it's
private and commercial. It's in the report.
It's in the report,
yes.
No, but I'm just referring
but
to that.
Sorry. Yeah, but also it should be reflected in the minutes because it was also
raised. It's not the fact that there were limited DFIs, it's the fact that there was no representation of the private sector.
Mm.
So if you could just add that, please.
It should be in the same sentence.
Yes. Yes. You told me?
Yes.
Thanks. Are there any further amendments? If there are none, can we then have a mover for the adoption of the minutes in the second half? Honorable Papa? And Honourable November.
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you.
But I noted the great improvement in the minutes.
Thank you. Honourable November. Thank you very much. Can we then move to the fourth item on the agenda, the consideration and adoption of the DFI workshop report. We had discussed the first draft and we made our amendment. What we then need to really focus on are the observations and the recommendations, because that is where the most of the changes will then effected. We should actually start at 4.5.4. Honorable Chuck.
Is it not wise for us if Sextant is guiding us so that we note what was not there, what we included there, so that we don't have to repeat the entire thing?
Mm-hmm.
I may have the chairperson was the document. I was actually working on the original document. I actually made captured all your suggestions, and then perhaps I instead of saving the document that included track change, I accepted track change. So it's now a thin document. I won't be able to follow because I was not working on the hard copy. Apologies for that.
I just have noted that if you go to page 6 and 7,
mm-hmm.
There are listed a number of participants who gave presentations who are not included in the body of the document, whose presentations are not recorded in the body of the document. So for example, King of Midlands, Industrial Parks, Marketing Tools, Coa Holdings, none of these are actually reflected in the document. How is that? I thought that we discussed that in our previous meeting, and that, I mean, these are glaring omissions. Much of the content is just simply not doesn't appear at all.
Thank you, Honorable Chance. Okay. One of, you know, the weaknesses, in as far as, you know, the editing and the quality assurance of this particular document is concerned, is that the content advisor was not there. Hence, you know, perhaps I could just indicate that even the addendum or the annexure that Honorable Chan spoke about earlier on, we did not include it in this document. We effected all the changes as per your recommendation, but the appendix part, I've actually done another exercise where I've gone through the entire recommendations that the portfolio committee has made and discovered that we are slowly becoming redundant, because most of the recommendations or suggestions that the portfolio committee has made are, for instance, captured in a number of oversight documents, oversight reports, are also captured in the BRRR. So the suggestion from my side really would be to piggyback on what the portfolio committee has actually recommended in the past, to say let's develop the tracking system
of
all the recommendations.
That's a different subject.
Mm.
That's a different subject. I'm not talking about the tracking.
Mm.
Sorry, Chair.
Mm.
Can I continue?
Yes.
That's a different subject. We're talking about this this workshop, okay? I cannot be a party to accepting a set of minutes which is so completely incomplete. It doesn't reflect the proceedings of the workshop. And I would request, Chair, that you ask the content advisor who was present at that workshop to complete these minutes. I don't think there's any point in us considering these minutes today. To complete these minutes and submit them to the committee for consideration and adoption at a future date.
Can I also speak on this matter? On page 12 and page 13, the issue of the King of Midlands Coa, Orlando West Industrial Park, is captured, and there is even a reference that is part of the input that was made by those people is covered in the introduction part of the document.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that they're in the body of the narrative, but they're not actually referred to as presentations, as they were. I mean, it's just that the minutes don't reflect the fact that these are organizations.
Can we also make a correction? These are not the minutes. This is a report. And it is, can I finish? And it is a continuation of the work that we have been doing all the time. So, the essence of the workshop was focusing more on the DFI. And if you look at the issue of power, the King of Midlands, and Orlando West, those three appear in one of our oversight reports. That is why they were there. That is why they are also captured here in the beginning, because those people were actually adding. The people that were invited, who made fresh presentations in that meeting, are these who are listed. Those who were repeating what they have presented in the past are mentioned here in this report on page 12 and 13, and they are also referred to in the beginning. So, in my view, it will not be true that this report doesn't cover them and the issues that they have raised, because this is work in progress. What they have said to the portfolio committee in the past and what they will say in the future will not be wiped out.
Okay.
It's part of the work that we are continuing to do. Yes, Honourable Chair.
Thanks, Chair, for that clarification. I do understand that there is a reference on page 13 to the organisation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the way in which the document is presented is not consistent, in that presentations were not reflected in actual paragraphs in the body of the document. And I can't see any reference, so maybe I've missed it, to Tookie Johnson Marketing Tools. I can't see any reference to that in the body of the document. Look, I don't want to make the committee's work any more difficult than it already is. But I just think in terms of, and I understand that they're not minutes, but it's just a matter of consistency of reporting. That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Honourable Tom.
Chair, I would have been happy if, when you read what you have referred to, that paragraph, that first paragraph in page 13, which talks about day 3, which is part of 4.4.3, if this meeting is not convinced that it covers what Honourable Tom is saying is missing, then if we do, we feel that generally this is covered there, therefore we can say this is the report, this is part of the report, or it tells what was part of the report. Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Honorable Mabo.
I'm not sure whether I'm lagging behind or trotting ahead, but is it not that one of our problems is that we are not agreeing on a procedure of tackling the report? I get the feeling that we are not systematic. Shouldn't we agree on a procedure and say because we are looking at the report, we go section by section, and under every section, members comment, so that we are not haphazardly all over. Thanks, Commissioner.
Okay. Firstly, I think that before we agree on the report, we need to deal with this issue of the Kimber of Midlands, Ikoa, and Orlando West. Let us read paragraph 1 on page 13. It says, firstly, it should be noted that the presentations made by Ikoa, Orlando West Industrial Park, and Kimber of Midlands were already dealt with in the background and introduction of this report. The Orlando West Industrial Park presentation is well captured in the oversight report of the committee, as if the committee had interacted with the presentation with the representatives before, that is during its oversight visit undertaken in February 2015 and in its committee meeting. Three of these, namely Power Holding, Orlando West Industrial Park, and King of Midlands, expressed this very same concern they expressed when they interacted with the committee. So there is nothing lost in terms of the presentation that was made by these three, because those presentations are well documented in our previous report and we discussed them in the portfolio committee. The reason for them to be invited was to make reference, because we had interacted with them before, and also to bring in new other people that were going to speak the same language as they had spoken with us. So I don't think that it is a transmash that we should have then repeated their presentations in this document when there is a reference to those presentations and how the committee got information from them and interacted with them. Madam Chan.
Chair, look, there are two points that I'm making. One is a matter of reporting style.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the issue of content. And, you know, the question then becomes, was there any content that was covered in the presentations made by these organizations that was not discussed or debated in the other reports reflecting the meetings that were held with them previously, or the presentations that they that's the question. And I mean, I'm not going to, you know, go any further into this, because I think that the issue is really a matter of style more than it is about content. And I was just requesting that the way in which the report is written is consistent. So that the fact that they were giving presentations, and even if it's just a quick summary of the presentations, that's how it should be. But I'm not going to, you know, make a big issue of it.
Mm-hmm. My response is related to the fact that your first submission in this meeting was that they are not captured at all. And my submission was that they are captured. They are captured in the introduction, and they are also captured in paragraph 1 of page 13. And also, I made reference to the fact that the fact that their presentation is not captured here does not necessarily mean that we have not interacted with them and we do not know what they are saying, because we have interacted with them and there is a report to that effect of the oversight that we have undertaken. It's a written report about our interaction. Anyone who wants to get to that information can go to the archives. So then we would then come to where we were when we adjourned. When we adjourned, we were at the observation and recommendation. We had dealt with the first part of the report. And in the first part of the report, we had made amendments, which the amendments the secretary is saying, he put them in without then highlighting them for us to see that this is the amendment that was made. If then members feel that they need to go through the report to see, to satisfy themselves that the report reflects the spirit of the portfolio committee, I'm happy to give members time to go through the report again. Honorable Chan?
Do we have that time? 10 minutes?
That's fine. Honourable Papa.
While we're doing that, Chair, we can also, while we're reading, we can also check if maybe what Honourable Trans is raising cannot be solved or resolved if you take in the last paragraph in page 2 and insert it in that paragraph, in page 13, the top paragraph, especially before, after small business and cooperative presentation, where it is 1, 2, 3, the third last line on that paragraph. I'm just asking that while we are going through and so on, if that cannot address this consistency, what the Chancellor said.
But Honorable Chan had accepted the explanation in the manner in which the report is written. I therefore saw, see no need for removing this paragraph to page 13. Can we then spend 10 minutes going through the report? Can we start? Before we get into the discussions, there is a point that was raised by Honorable Chanda with regard to the presentation that was made by Mr. Tuki Johnson. That presentation is not covered in the report. And it speaks to a marketing tool. If I remember correctly, the presentation was saying that the world has evolved and there is no use of phones. The point that he was saying was that it is very difficult for small businesses to market themselves. And he had developed an app that could assist small businesses to advertise their businesses by piggybacking either on WhatsApp but using the communications network that exists, which if one reads this report also in terms of issues raised by the SMMEs and cooperatives in relation to available products that are offered by different DFIs, the same tools could be used. If we were to move with time, because even a person in the rural area, we are going to put the WhatsApp, then message on WhatsApp, here was Wimjambutik. Which products are offered by Isifa that relate to Amanis alone? I think that was the essence of the presentation that was made by Mr. Johnson.
I agree with your summation, Chair. Just to add one thing, which is that he was at the workshop to explain what he was doing with his product, but also because of the difficulty he had had in funding, in finding funding, and he still was looking for funding. And it would be interesting to find out from him whether he did get any funding, and if so, from whom.
Yeah, the essence of his presentation was that he has developed this tool that would make small businesses market their products. But he was also a small business that required funding in order to launch that. It's a similar situation like the oversight visit to Gauteng, where we went to Vusisizwe. Vusisizwe created a product, and they are saying their focus is on reducing the cost of doing business for a small business. The cost of what Vusisizwe had done was to produce containers that are used for different kinds of businesses, either a mobile kitchen, a hair salon, an internet cafe, a number of them, but the key factor of the businesses is that all those containers were using a solar-driven energy, which then reduces the cost of doing a business to a small business. But also it allows a small business to move the trailer around. If this person is a street vendor occupying a particular corner, when there is then a match in Harry Gwala Stadium, that person moves the trolley yakhe from Ikona Gawe Street in Pietermaritzburg to actually go to a Harry Gwala where there are going to be more customers. That is what Vusisizwe was saying, that we have seen that there is high cost of doing business for small businesses, and we are coming in the space to provide products that could help small businesses to generate more income. And one of the costs that we have identified for small businesses that need to be reduced is the cost of rent, the rental cost, as well as the electricity cost. That is what Vusisizwe was telling. The same applies to U Johnson. Okay. He is selling a solution to small businesses for them to be able to advertise using e-marketing and e-marketing tools. But he is then struggling. He is not saying the department should buy for those people. He is saying, I have customers that want to buy my product, but I cannot roll it out because I am also a small business. I need assistance. That was the essence of the presentation. So my proposal would then be that we effect that amendment into this report. Can we then move to take other contributions from members? Honorable Chan?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I second that proposal that you just made. Just in terms of sections 4.6 and 4.7, sorry, 5, 4.6, I don't have many changes at all, in fact. Page 27, second paragraph, fourth line. CIPA has proposed a hybrid funding model. See that?
Page 27.
Second paragraph, fourth line.
Okay.
CIPA has produced a hybrid funding model. Add the word model.
Okay.
And then page 29. Bottom paragraph, 5.7. I think I would word it slightly differently by saying that the relevant political structures or cabinet or ministers should clarify the mandate of these DFIs. In other words, is their agenda developmental or making a profit? You see? I mean, I think the point that you're making is that's being made here, the budget process should consider granting adequate funding to these institutions without merely considering the financial performance and sustainability of these institutions. Well, you know, we could say that, but I think that what is actually needed is that their mandate needs to be clarified, because this is why there's this disconnect between what is expected of them and what their boards intend them to do. And then my final comment, 5.12, last paragraph on page 30. Grameen Bank, as far as I understand it, actually originated in Bangladesh, not in India. So I think that you need to make that change. Thank you.
Are there any honourable bank?
Sure. On page 26, it's not an amendment. It's just a word that I want us to omit if I read right. The second last paragraph. The last sentence after the comma. This is in principle concurrent. By the is, must it move out?
Mm-hmm. Are there any other comments? I would want us to expand on page 30, 5.11. The department to read as follows. The department must look at strategic partners that they can engage or forge strategic partnerships with, so as to enrich their understanding and build its own capacity and use the experience of these strategic partners to develop a strategic approach for cooperative development in South Africa during the program review process. I'm saying that because if the department was to conclude the program review, having not interacted with the strategic partners, such as the Mondragon, which is number one in the world in the development of cooperatives, having come to interact with the department through the efforts of the portfolio committee, I think the department would not be appreciative of the doors that are being opened for the department to learn from, and are not taking seriously the efforts of the portfolio committee to actually assist the department, because that is what the portfolio committee has actually been doing. We have not been hammering the department on its shortcomings. Instead, we have been assisting the department and showing the department the way. And we need then to be specific in saying we have opened this door for you. Follow up. So that we can then begin to see if there is resistance and they think that the knowledge that they currently have doesn't need to be enriched by any other person or any other structure that exists. If I was in the department, I would have made a follow-up with the Mondragon. But also on the same sentence, I would actually separate these two. What has to be done by the department and the appetite of the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee content advisor has gone beyond having an appetite. We actually resolved that we would be going to Mondragon, and also we are not visiting Spain as if we are going there to tour Spain. We have a specific mission. We want to go to Mondragon. And the reason for that is that the Basque region was a very poor region, which was isolated from the rest of the country. Very low levels of education, no employment opportunities, nothing. The only resources that turned around that situation was a cooperative champion in the name of Reverend Joseph Mare and 5 engineers, and the ability of Reverend Jose Mario to talk to the community and mobilize the community behind these 5 engineers who actually designed, some call it the paraffin heater, others call it the oil heater. In South Africa, it was called the primer stove. So 5 engineers from a very poor region, isolated. And the message was, do we pack the suitcases and go to Madrid to look for work, or we develop our own region? And the decision that was taken by the community is that we are not going to pack suitcases and go to Madrid. We are going to develop this region. And that region today has developed businesses that are rated number 10 in Spain. A region whose language was not even recognized to be used in the schools. So it demonstrates how a cooperative concept is used as a tool for developing underdeveloped communities. And there is no where else this department has to look for first other than the Mondragon. So ePortfolio Committee is not going to Spain, it is going to the Mondragon, the Basque region, because the conditions in South Africa of uneven levels of development, a first world for urban communities and a third world for rural communities, dictates that we should go there, because we have very relevant lessons to learn from. If our department, if we understand inequality as reflected in the NDP, inequality as reflected in the NDP is about a South Africa that has got 2 wells that are apart. A developmental state for the rich and a welfare state for the poor, who survive on 350 rand child support grants. There are families who actually survive on 350 child support grants. And that is the situation that we need to be focusing and saying we want to turn that situation around. So as we are going to Spain, as if we are going to reach, we are going to Mondragon. Honorable Chan.
Chad, have you got a proposed date for that trip?
That is what we need to put on this. That is why I'm saying let us separate 0.511 and 0.512, so that with that decision, we are then able to say, when are we going? Because we have already taken a decision that we need to go there. Honorable Mabas.
My question is, how will we integrate that trip with the rest of the other places that we have identified as critical, so that we don't come back when we work, we find that we go halfway with the work, only later on do we realize we must integrate the lessons from Kenya, you know, etc.
In terms of the system in Parliament, you are only allowed to undertake two international study tours in a term. So it will then be difficult for us to go to all the countries that we have identified as countries that you can learn from. But we could prioritize the most important that we can learn from. In Africa, it is Kenya. And internationally, in terms of cooperatives, it is Mondragon. And in terms of funding, people that are at the survival stage where there is no one who is even looking at them is the Grameen Bank. So then the point that I'm making is that there is information that we would learn by going, and there is information that we can get by doing the research. And I have not been to all these places, but I read also about them, and I attend workshops and training sessions where some of these people are invited to make presentations. In some situations, we would not necessarily need to go. We could invite people to be part of our workshops, as we did with the Mondragon. We first invited a person from Mondragon. We could decide that in our follow-up workshop in terms of the DFI, let's not call it DFI, let's call it a financing of SMMEs, because we want to broaden it. We could decide that we invite the Grameen Bank, a representative from the Grameen Bank, to share with us how they managed to create a bank that is today 80% owned by the borrowers. I don't know, Honorable Mabas, whether I have adequately responded to your question.
Yes, well, given the constraints, yes. But in reality, I wouldn't be happy with us being an African country, primarily placing our way forward on cooperatives, on what we will have learned from Spain only. But because of the constraints, it means we will have to get the information as you are indicating, and that will have to suffice.
My understanding is that the work of this portfolio committee would inform the portfolio committee of this parliament. It will be a continuation. The recommendations that we will make also in our legacy report would assist that portfolio committee. But the department does not get dissolved when Parliament is dissolved because of the election. So the department is also not restricted in terms of how many visits, oversight visits, I mean statutory visits that they need to undertake. What needs to change is the manner in which the department is doing things. To actually look beyond itself, because at the moment, the department is focusing internally. It doesn't look externally for it to position itself in a manner that is going to enable the department to address challenges and felt needs of SMMEs and cooperatives. That is what needs to change, in essence. Then on the issue of learning from Spain or learning from Africa, any model would not be taken as it is from another country, from one country to another country. What happens is that you take those lessons and, in other words, you adopt them and then you adapt them into your own environment. So whether you are learning from Spain or you are learning from Kenya, although Kenya is in Africa, Kenya has got its own policies, it's structured differently. What we would be learning from Kenya would require us to actually adapt and make that fit into our situation, which will then enable us to come up with our own model. But adopted from Kenya and adapted to speak to the condition of this country. So for me, where the best model is located is not an issue. The issue is, does that country, was the model that was developed in that country speaking to similar problems that are experienced in this country? And if that is the case, the model then fits. But it may not necessarily be the case that a model that works in Kenya, if it was not addressing the problems that South Africa is faced with, just because it is in Kenya and Kenya is in Africa, it then becomes a model that we need to be following. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be going to Kenya. I'm saying let us not put the location of the model in terms of the country as a determining factor. Let us put the problems and similarities of the problem as a determining factor.
Yes, no, but the point I was making was not Spain or... The point I was making was not Spain or Kenya. It was Spain and Kenya. And the further point I was making is that Kenya is an African country, which means the socio-economic conditions of Kenya are closer to the socio-economic conditions of South Africa, more than the socio-economic conditions of Spain are relating to South Africa. But I had accepted that. I think what we shouldn't do we should not justify adapting the model from Kenya the way you are suggesting, Comrade Chair. We should say, because of constraints, we are going that route. You know, that's, I think this is the point that that's where we don't see it completely together, you know. But because of also time constraints, I think I was just attempting to make a point. Because we all accept that we must adapt any model that we learn from. We must adapt it to our own situation. The way, if we were to take it and just implant it, it's unworkable. Thanks, Coach.
Honorable Chair.
Chair, just if you can help me by repeating, is it the policy that we are allowed two international oversight visits a year or one?
We are not allowed two international visits in a year. We are allowed two international visits in 5 years.
I see. Okay. The next point is, do you anticipate that members of the department would accompany us on these visits? And if it comes to the issue of developing a cooperative strategy, one needs to look broadly, not just at Spain and India. There are lots of other countries and other examples of where cooperatives are successfully implemented. So that then leads to the question, does the chairperson envisage the committee providing or producing a report on cooperatives, which then includes your model, if I may say, and others? Or do you see us as providing advice and input to the department so that the department actually does what it's supposed to be doing? I don't see I don't see the point in the committee producing something which has executive authority attached to it. You know, that's the purpose of the department itself.
Okay. The portfolio committee, firstly, a study tour of a portfolio committee has to do with broadening the understanding of a portfolio committee for it to be able to look at whether the department is implementing programs that are providing answers to the challenges that the country is faced with and make recommendations to the department, as we have done with the oversight. So the answer is, we would expect that the department would be part of the study tour. When I was chairing transport, the most important issue was integrating the four modes of transport in South Africa, because they are not integrated. And before we could choose which country we had to go to, we looked at the countries that have similarities like South Africa, but also countries that are moving masses of people and where transport is cheaper. And we identified four countries, which was France, Japan, China, and Germany. Through desktop research, we found that China had more similarity like ours in terms of rural areas that are underdeveloped and also transport of moving masses of people as well as goods, because in South Africa goods transported, 80% of goods are transported by road instead of by train. So we chose China, but we also looked at research now, what is happening in France, what is what happened in Germany, and what happened in Japan. And we discovered that China has actually moved ahead of the trendsetters in terms of the high-speed train, which is what influenced the changes that were then undertaken by the Department of Transport, including TRASA and Transnet. So the portfolio committee does influence the direction of a department, provided the department, when the portfolio committee is undertaking a study tour, brings in people that would be able to come back in the department and get things done, so that the report of the portfolio committee doesn't become an end product, but it assists the department to improve its approach and address issues in the country. So that is in a broader sense of why portfolio committees would undertake ama study tours, and how they use that information then to guide and influence the department and the country to take a particular direction, because a study tour report is debated in the House, and if it is approved in the House, even if it is not debated, once the House approves that report, it then becomes a document that the department has to work on, and then the portfolio committee has to look at the implementation of the recommendations. That's it. Can we then continue with the report?
There is just one part that I find difficult to understand. On page 3, our approach to COA, is it sustainable? In other words, is it the approach that X organization approaches us the same way COA approaches us? Do we think in terms of policy setting or precedence, are we comfortable with the way, because it says also COA sought the buy-in of the government to ensure access to farmland, which means access to farmland to COA, reasonable funding, which means reasonable funding from government, access to markets for the expansion of the project to the entire country. So, in a way, because there are no specifics. When we talk of reasonable funding, or these things that are specified here, in my mind, I say, hey, is this not vague language, which tomorrow turns out to be billions? And then where they say, no, this is our land. Next time you say, no, land, what? They say, no, this land belongs to COA. So, but because I have not been interacting with COA as much as other members have been interacting, I don't expect that my understanding will be at the same level as other members, you know. Let me just pause there. Thanks.
Can I get the understanding of other members? Honorable Chang.
I don't think my co-host is looking for land for itself.
Not how I interpret it. It's looking for land for the project. And our interactions with COA and the chiefs and the smallholders themselves suggest that the land would be made available by the chiefs, which then would be occupied by the smallholders, by the members of the co-op, managed by COA. COA wouldn't actually own the land.
Last follow-up,
mm-hmm.
The expertise, does that expertise get transferred to the that village? I mean, we speak of the whole country. Let's assume it's done in KZN. Is it the South African government which will get the expertise and move that expertise all over the country, or is it COA with its expertise which will move all over the country? You know, because there is also a very thin line between empowering the inhabitants of a country such that they are able to do things on their own. Because the way I saw it, those people are highly, highly trained. And is there a strategy of parting with those skills such that if we move to Free State, we can even forget about COA, you know? It's now South Africa doing it. Or is it going to be COA all over the country because it will not have given us the skills? You know, that's another question that I'm asking myself.
No, thanks, Chair. I'm not sure that I would be responding directly to what Honorable Bosef just said. But I think Honorable Chances just covered the one for the land. In most cases, in the KZN, lands are owned by the chief. So I think he just covered that. But with the expertise that Comrade Mabaso has been raised, I think from Inkosi Maphumulo, COA has just identified that there is, in each and every co-op, they train people within the co-op. And when we went to Umzwabantu, there was a guy that was introduced to us that was trained by COA. I'm not sure if I'm covering that, Honorable Mabaso. Thank you.
Well, partially. Well, definitely this is my last. Partially covered, but when I talk of expertise, I also talk of, you know, the mixing of those chemicals, that infrastructure of the water, the dam, you know, that's high expertise. I don't mean the one, yes, I know there was that young man that was introduced to us, that he's a local young man. I accept that. But I take it we are at the same level, that it is not that level of young men that we will say is fully equipped. But if we so say, it's all right. But I think as we discuss, we tend to understand each other at least. Thanks.
Thank you. I think also this question will be answered more when we deal with the report, Liam Saga 14 and 15. Because when we went to at both in Tombikapai and Ulim. It was no longer Koa who was speaking. At Ulimo, it was a person who has been now trained by Koa, who is even able to orientate not just to plow, but even the irrigation system was installed, supervised by Koa, but the members themselves were doing that work. So in each and every project, there is Koa deploys an agronomist, and then the cooperative chooses a person who is understudying that agronomist. But if Koa would not be able to transfer skills to the department, if a department is not playing that role of wanting to get AMA skills. But we will come to that discussions when we discuss the report about the oversight visit. That is one reason that made us to say, let us use these cooperatives 12 as a case study for this portfolio committee to get to an understanding of what exactly happens when the department says it is funding cooperatives. Maybe what needs to be changed in this sentence. What COA does is that it ensures that there is access to farmland by cooperatives, not by COA. COA is not a member of those cooperatives. It's the cooperatives that have access to that farmland. Also, when it comes to reasonable funding, it's not reasonable funding for COA, it is reasonable funding for cooperatives. Because for the first time, we have cooperatives that are supported by a service provider to say this funding is not enough because the type of skills that we want to impart, as well as the needs of these cooperatives for us to be able to take them to the next level, are more expensive than what you are currently giving. The situation with other service providers were that they were taking that as it was given to them by the department without saying anything, which would have made then the department to change its approach. The last one, on the market, there is harvesting tomorrow at Uli. The harvesting is going to last for until Saga 10. Already a market has been sorted out by COA for Uli. Freshly produced, freshly picked, will be going to Ulimo cooperative to pick up 36,000 heads of cabbages and pay that cooperative 263,000. So the market again is thought it is the add value that COA has brought into these cooperatives, other than just putting the irrigation system, and that is it. Then the issue of expanding it to the entire country will depend on the attitude of the department, whether the department does see value in that approach or not. If the department doesn't see any value, there's nothing that will prevent COA from getting private funding and working with communities that want COA to work with them. again, it comes to the issue of the department willing to establish strategic partnerships. Can we then continue with the report? On page 24, line number 4, socio-economic reality of a business nature with deep rooted in.
On page 24,
line number 4, presentation by Mondragon. Socio-economic reality of a business nature with deep rooted in Basque country. And this was
with deep roots.
Yes.
With roots originating from.
Okay. It's not also the country, it's region. The country is free.
Can you hear what's being said, teacher? We can hear.
Are you?
I think it's with the microphone.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, I will rephrase. It actually meant deep roots. Or I can also say originally from, or in the Basque region in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You can reread the sentence with the change. No. Okay. Mondragon is the biggest business group in the Basque region, not country, and the top 10 in the ranking of Spanish companies. In his presentation, Mr. Goita indicated that Mondragon is a socio-economic reality of a business nature with deep roots in Basque region. Created by and for people which were inspired by the basic principles of cooperatives. So it's just to change that rooted to roots.
Again, on page 25, paragraph 2. Line number 2. It starts on line number 1. The structure constitutes the president, comma, which head. President is a person who.
The name of the president.
No, I mean, Uti. The president can't be which. The president would be who.
Okay.
And then also, it will not be head. It will be head.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the last page, we go page 8. I think that I will discuss with the need to hold a broader workshop that would include private banks, DFIs, and cooperative banks.
It's on 5.5.
Okay. And then the last one is the cooperative bank development agency is currently focusing on regulating the CFIs.
5.10.
Yeah. No, it's a new thing. The point that I'm making here. Okay, on 5.10, the portfolio committee jointly with the department and its entities, small enterprise, blah, 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 must continue to lobby National Treasury to expand the role and capacity of the Cooperative Bank Development Agency to not only play an oversight or regulatory function on cooperative banks, but also include developmental aspects. Okay. But I also think in the process of a project review at departmental level now, that needs to be filtered in. It should not only be the responsibility of the portfolio committee to lobby treasurer. It should also be the work of the department to ensure that in the program review process, that is taken into account in the same way that we would expect the department to take an initiative in as far as the development of the Cooperative Development Academy, because it is in their interest.
Okay. Can I just include the sentence here on 5.10?
Yeah. Give me another second.
The only thing is that we may have to be careful so that before the names, we are consistent. If it's Mr., you know, we have it. If it's Miss, we have it. So that we don't, or with other people, have Mr., Mrs., or Miss. And then with others, we just go straight into a name, so we can just look at that as well.
Okay.
Check, just to double check, from the members, the 5.12, I will be specific in terms of the forthcoming visit to Spain, but in terms of the date now, can we say before the end of the fourth quarter, or I think in keeping with the principle of SMART objective, we need to be specific in terms of when exactly.
Fourth quarter, also it.
I mean, say March 2017, before the end of this financial year. So that if it fails, we then know that definitely in the 2017-2018 it's definitely happening.
You don't put unrealistic goals. We all know that there is no international trip that is undertaken before we pass the budget. So we can't then say during the first quarter, because if fourth quarter of this financial year is actually immediately after the opening of Parliament, in this case when we are dealing with our budget, and until the adoption of the budget, overseas trip. So let us be realistic.
Just a typo, colleague chair, on page 2. I was just asking over Ukunene whether I missed whether it was correct text. Number second line, since its formation in 2014, and then the second line says, and cooperatives and aspired entrepreneurs. I'm asking myself whether we are using the right word with aspired.
expiring.
Are expiring, okay.
Can we unpack that aspiring entrepreneurs?
And
for my own understanding, what do you mean by that?
Entrepreneurs wanna be those who want
to be
entrepreneurs, yes. Not yet entrepreneurs, but who wants to be entrepreneurs.
But we have interacted also with entrepreneurs. I want to be black business because Aboma found that they are entrepreneurs. We have not only interacted with the aspiring entrepreneurs. In the Small Business Development Institute, we interact with well-established businesses.
I think the message that the secretary is conveying, I tend to support him, because he is not saying to the exclusion of, but he is saying and. And it's also a motivating word, because it says, you know, even if you have not started, even you have that wish, even if, so I think it's a good word to have. Thanks, comrade. So as long as it's phrased properly.
So, in terms of a date manner, I would say any date after the adoption of the budget, my budget date, but before the end of 2017. Because also, he's an informal I'm a good limited to many passes in the committee. The red tape bill and all others. Can we then come to how we conclude this? In view of the fact that we need to effect the presentation. Kobe Johnson, I will then propose that we adopt this next week. Any contrary view? Oh, none. Can we then go to the second report? Has members read the report or they need time to read? Need some time. 30 minutes is fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Five, look at my amendment. So. What about Napa and Baba Comic Canon?
It's what?
What do you want to do? Yes, Baba and Baba.
Oh,
I don't know. Kogena is village, yeah.
Kogena?
Is village.
Yeah. Now, what about the one for?
Shutabula, Kogena, it's here. Is village.
Oh.
Because it's a place, it's a young swell.
Yeah.
And don't give up by, it's open there.
Oh.
It's on the village.
So many young swell, it's open.
Are we ready? That's my part. Need a few more minutes. I give you 10 more.
No, it's just covered something, so no substance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Some cut the lemon. Funde. Papa fund. Give me one. That's my class. Yes, sir. Another Zago?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, on page 27, 6.5.19, it's written Deputy Minister and Municipal Manager. I think we should have said Deputy, no, Deputy Mayor of Ogo District, not Deputy Municipal Manager. Correction. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Ikamala.
Page 4, second paragraph, bottom of that paragraph, it's referring to the creation of the Small Business Department in line with the National Small Business Act 1996. I'm not sure that that act provided for the formation of this department per se. In fact, I'm fairly sure it didn't. So maybe you could just reword that. Sorry?
Can you direct me to the paragraph?
Page 4, second paragraph.
Yes.
Second, third, and last line.
Yes.
Says create the Ministry of Small Business Development in line with the National Small Business Act of 1996. I'm just querying whether the act actually specified the formation of this department. I don't think it did. So I think one, I mean, I may be wrong, but I think one just needs to clarify that. Yes?
Thank you, Honorable Chance. I think it's food for thought. Maybe it's something that one needs to go back and, because even the formation of the CIFA is created by an act of Industrial Development Corporation Act. It doesn't necessarily say the entity is hereby created, but it's created in line with that particular proviso within the act. Same applies to this one, but then
maybe I could suggest it could be saying which was anticipated by the National Small Business Act. I mean, I'm just quibbling, but you know, this ministry was not created in 1996. It was created in 2014. That's all I'm going to say. So I think it's misleading to say that the ministry was created in line with the National Small Business Act.
I think my interpretation would be that it is the act that was in that year.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't this of this act that the community, Small Business Department was created.
Correct.
Like you also know that there's also Cooperative Act,
correct,
which someone was saying is not, it is different from the Small Business Act. That's what it is. The department was created on the basis of the Small Business Act of 1996.
I don't believe that's correct.
Why not?
Because why wasn't it created in 1996? It was created in 2014.
No, it's the act that was in 1996.
Mm. Yes, but you can't say that the department that was created in 2014 was based on the act of 1996.
The sentence doesn't say based on.
No, but in line with.
No.
In line
can,
with.
Can I say my own interpretation? The act refers to the small business. The country aims at developing small businesses. And in 1996, it then assigned the responsibility of developing small businesses to the Department of Trade and Industry. Upon evaluating the progress made, a decision is then taken that in line with the same act, the mandate that was given to the Department of Trade and Industry has to be migrated out of trade and industry because there is no specific focus. Therefore, a new department is created still in line with the same act because the object of the act is to develop small businesses. Where that mandate is located is not specified in the act.
That's correct, Chair, as you say. To maybe summarize what you say, is instead of in line with, say, to give force to the National Small Business Act.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That's essentially summarizing in three words what you've just said.
Sure.
You happy with that, Ruth?
Yeah.
Should I continue?
What would the difference between in line with?
Because there was no provision in that act for the formation of the ministry, but the ministry, when it was formed, gave force to what the act was trying to do, which was to empower small businesses. It's the emphasis. That's all I would say. Okay, and then the next page. Just the word delegated at the top, maybe could be changed to mandated or obliged. It's not a delegation. It's not delegated. It mandates the department,
the
committee. Yeah. Okay. Then page 9, 6.1. I think one needs to make the point in on the fifth line that it's 3.6% of commercial farmland.
Sorry.
Page 9.
Mm-hmm. Page 9? What?
No.
Can we deal with that first? Yes.
Food for thought again. Another chance. Sorry.
Yeah.
Food for thought. I thought the portfolio committee is delegated by the National Assembly to exercise oversight over the department. But that's food for thought. I will change in food mandate.
I think mandated is better than delegated. Because delegated would seem to suggest that the parliament has an option. It doesn't have an option. It's in the constitution.
Mm. Mm.
But also, the department accounts to parliament. And the portfolio committee is providing an oversight to the department on behalf of parliament. So it in terms of the constitution, it's parliament that provides an oversight. Then parliament establishes committees and delegates its power to those portfolio committees and align them with the department, which is why everything that we do in the portfolio committee gets approved by parliament, because whatever we are doing on behalf of Parliament.
Chairperson, the reason why I agree with Mende is that when you delegate, you can change a delegation anytime.
Mm-hmm.
But with a mandate, it's not that easy. But when you're constitutionally mandated, not delegated, because with a delegation, you can ask transport to go and check something you want to know in this department. Because you can change delegations anytime.
It depends when you, where you sit, how you understand the way of operation of Parliament.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
While understanding the way Parliament operates, can Parliament take a delegation from a different committee to look at what this department is?
Can a Minister of Transport delegate function to a Deputy Minister of Energy? So it brings us to the same that it's in relation to how Parliament is structured. The Constitution mandates Parliament to hold the executive accountable. Then Parliament delegates its powers to portfolio committees. Because of how it's structured, it would not be possible for Parliament, as Parliament, to oversee work that is done by different departments which form the executive. This committee cannot take decisions that are related to what a department has to do without subjecting those decisions to the adoption and approval by Parliament. That on its own means that the committee is doing its work on behalf of Parliament. Honorable Cup.
I have not seen what the Constitution says about this power of the Parliament and of the committee. If I would be able to do that now, I would go through that. But with the understanding of the explanation that I'm getting, it says to me that the Constitution has not delegated the committee. And therefore, but still, to me, it would sound still realistic if you say constitutionally delegated by Parliament. If we want to maintain that, constitutionally delegated, if the Parliament delegates it to the committee, then we should say constitutionally
delegated by Parliament.
Because even mandated, I don't think it would help us to say it's constitutionally mandated by that. We still have to say, you say it's sort of food for thought. Where does it say that the Constitution has mandated the committee to do that? So,
the Constitution gives power to Parliament to establish this committee. That is why committees would change, informed by the decision of Parliament. You don't have to amend the Constitution in order to establish a portfolio committee. The only thing that the Constitution does, it gives the Parliament power to provide oversight on the executive. And in executing that responsibility, Parliament then establishes committees and align them two departments through NA rules. So the word delegation needs to remain constitutionally delegated by Parliament. Honorable Chair.
I'm happy with that. Chair, as the person who brought it up in the first place, I think that that's a fair compromise. Can we? Can I continue?
Sure.
Okay, get back to my point that I was on, page 9, paragraph 6.1, fifth line.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just insert the word commercial after 3.6%,
mm-hmm.
because there's lots of farmland. It's just that it's farmland in Gwanyama Trust rather than managed or run by commercial farms. So the 3.6%, if I'm not mistaken, is commercial farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it would be worthwhile making a point. I don't think it was covered here, but what proportion of the municipality is actually owned by the Nguyama Trust would be interesting to know. Not just in this municipality, but the other one. But
86%.
Huh?
86%.
Does it say? Oh, 86. No, but that's rural. Is that what? Is that equivalent? Is that
exact equivalent?
All rural land in KwaZulu Natal falls under Nguyama Trust.
All right. Well, in that case, maybe it's just worth putting that in that the rural land is owned by the Nguyama Trust.
86% is for the entire province. I'm not sure if you want for the entire province or specifically for Fumuzu Abantu local municipality.
But what is this? What does this paragraph? What does this paragraph intend to say?
Just a basic statistics. It doesn't necessarily give in terms of the ITP or Amakhosi. What's the percentage that is owned by Amakhosi?
Because that's going to start with the municipality is made up of 10 members, consisting of more than 3 parcels.
Smooth. There is a one page. Document that was distributed by the LED manager of Umzu Abantu,
mm-hmm.
where these statistics come from.
Correct.
Okay. And those statistics refer only to Umzu Abantu land, not the province.
Okay, so if I could just suggest.
Ukhumbule ukuthi mina ngizalwa lapho.
I could just then suggest that you put after a rural area of 86% brackets owned by the Nguyama Trust,
mm-hmm.
close brackets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Paragraph, page 10, paragraph 2. I think that you need to add one of the challenges, which is land ownership patterns, which is referred to at the back when you refer to the title deed issue, but I think it's important that you refer to it here as well.
Land ownership
pattern.
No problem.
Second paragraph.
Which page is that?
Page 10.
Page 10.
When it's referring to the challenges.
Yeah.
Okay. Paragraph 14, sorry, page 14, 6.2.1.4 at the bottom.
Before we go to page 14, can we go back to page 10?
Yes.
Bullet number 2. Improvement of access roads, access to water, telecommunication services, and energy supply. I'm saying this because the irrigation system used in this 1 hectare farm is not necessarily an irrigation scheme, that the usual irrigation scheme that has been there, that which wastes a lot of water. But also in terms of infrastructure, it's not only improvement of access road and irrigation system, but also telecommunications his services, if one takes into consideration that a security person, when, let's say, kunabantu laphaya who are stealing the generator, the pump, or when crops are ready for harvesting, you may not see that before harvesting time. But masekune harvesting, then there's only one person who remains in that farm. It's the security guard who would require something to communicate through either to the police station or to a disaster management center. So we all know that telecommunication services in rural areas are not easily available. But also the energy supply. When you look at the pump, it's a diesel pump. But if that 1 hectare was expanded to 10 hectares, what would be the best way of having the energy if in the past a farm was supplied with grid energy and today we have solar energy?
Yes, page 14,
mm-hmm.
Bottom paragraph. Normally, a company that has a turnover of less than R1 million is a non-VAT registered company. So how is it possible that Coa Holdings and Wayhams Group, I don't know anything about Wayhams Group, but are not VAT registered? It boggles the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to understand better how that is possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's something very fishy here.
Mm-hmm.
Does Coa not have a turnover of R1 million?
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to direct a question to Coa Holdings,
sure,
to clarify that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the same question. Who is actually funded? Is it COA or is it a cooperative? Because the irrigation system does not belong to COA. It belongs to cooperative. And a person who has to pay EVET is the end user. And in this case, it is the 12 cooperative. COA was buying on behalf. COA was not buying for COA to then put a markup and supply cooperative. COA was buying on behalf of cooperative. So in essence, it is the cooperative. But we will come to an understanding when we are dealing with the issue of secondary cooperative and the thinking in the department. Because in my view, that challenge would have been addressed by allowing these 12 cooperatives to form a secondary cooperative, which was then going to buy on behalf of the cooperative. And that secondary cooperative would not have made the 10 million turnover. And pardon me? Yes. Yes. That secondary cooperative would not have made the 1 million turnover. Because it was not going to be a cooperative that is trading. It was going to be a secondary cooperative that is providing a service to its own members. and therefore not subjected to VAT. That's how Afrikaners organize themselves in this country and were able to reduce lots of costs in doing businesses through cooperatives. And that is why also this subject was not in the mainstream of education. Because if it was in the mainstream of education, it would have enlightened a number of people who wouldn't be having the kind of poverty that we have in this country. So, my submission in this is that in dealing with this issue, we need to understand as to who was buying. Was it COA or was it COA on behalf of cooperatives? COA playing a role that would have been ideally played by a secondary cooperative had the department subscribed to the school of thought that a secondary cooperative is not a graduation from a primary cooperative. A secondary cooperative, whether it's a cooperative, whether it's primary, secondary, or tertiary, is an entity that provides a service to its own members.
Okay, page 17, sorry, 27. 6.5.1.8. I think the point that's being made here in this paragraph is that CIFA on its own didn't feel able to make a loan without there being support services in place. So that points to the need for financial and non-financial support to be tied up. Whether it be a secondary co-op or through CEDA or through a CUR or something. Do you see what I'm saying?
The point that CIFA was making was that CIFA would not have made a loan to these 12 cooperatives because they were not from one area. They were scattered across 5 municipalities. And then they were making an example that said, if they were from one area, it would have been possible for FIFA to fund them. The first issue is the issue of when they were established. Some of them had not been established for over a period of 1 year, which is a misconception of what a secondary cooperative is. The second issue is the argument by CIFA, which is based on geographical location, which is not also a correct argument, because a secondary cooperative which CIFA would have handled would have been established in order to buy all these things that were at the end purchased by COA, including a tractor that could have been transported across all cooperatives instead of waiting for each cooperative to get a funding that would come to one cooperative in order to get a tractor. And one tractor or two tractors could have been able to service all 12 cooperatives. You hire a flatbed truck, you put a tractor, you transport it to the next cooperative, the work is done. The tractor belongs to the secondary cooperative. It reduces funding, you are using minimal resources to achieve maximum results. That is where the word plant hire comes from for well-established construction companies. Reinekers, Murray and Roberts, all of them, they came together and said, we could not buy all these equipments that are expensive. Let us put our resources together, buy this equipment, and hire them out to ourselves. They are providing a service to themselves. The cooperative concept is operating in South Africa, even in small, in big businesses.
Okay, my final point, Chair, goes to the issue of the cooperative incentive scheme itself and whether it is actually an appropriate instrument for the purpose that COA and the co-ops are trying to achieve. And in my view, the problem here is that COA and the co-ops are trying to force a business model into the fixed grant amount of the CIS, rather than creating a business plan and using the grant as a primer to prime the pump of the business and get funding from elsewhere to finance the things that are referred to in this document, including consulting fees, working capital, blah, blah, blah. And that's where I think that the whole rationale of the CIS needs to be reviewed, as well as the fact that, you know, COA seems to run out of options. It only had the CIS, and even the CIS was inadequate. You know, as I said, the business plan was squeezed and, you know, made to work within the constraints of the CIS, but actually we can see that it's not enough.
I agree with you, except when you say COA and the department, not COA. The department is trying to make the business plan developed by COA, costed differently by COA, to fit the CIS. Also because the department doesn't look beyond CIS. The department doesn't look beyond CIS in terms of training to use the transversal agreement and coordination to approach AgriSeta and say AgriSeta fund the technical skills training that are provided by COA. Number two, the department doesn't go to AgriSeta to say, AgriSeta, it is in your interest for local government LED office to understand that their responsibility is to develop cooperatives so that communities can participate in the mainstream economy. Therefore, fund the training of LED managers, councillors, ward committees, traditional leaders, and cooperative. AgriSeta has done that without being approached by the department, by being approached by an NGO that is saying we want to operate in this space. It is in your interest to broaden your revenue base and have sustainable municipalities, then fund the cooperative training so that we can go there and train your people. So the problem is not with COA, the problem is with the department, because the department has designed a funding instrument that is a one-size-fits-all, and the department doesn't want to mobilize other resources. Yet the department is mandated to coordinate and sign transversal agreements. Here, I have a summary of a report from COA and all the emails that were sent to the department, highlighting to the department the shortcoming of the funding and wanting the department to mitigate in those shortcomings. And the department was fixated and saying only 350,000 is made available. But also, in the beginning of the establishment of this portfolio committee, we questioned the CIS to say, why do you call it an incentive? Because an incentive is actually what would have happened if the department had negotiated non-taxation exemption of cooperatives from being taxed for a particular time. That is an incentive. But a grant has to be called a grant, not an incentive. That is the issue that needs to be corrected. That is why these cooperatives are a case study, so that we are able to identify all the loopholes and the gaps, which would then inform the department to take the correct, to develop a correct approach that would address the felt needs of cooperatives. So I agree with you when you say it is not adequate, but I disagree with you, Honorable Chance, when you say the business plan developed by COA. The business plan developed by COA requires more.
No, I understand that, Chair. All I was saying was that COA's business plan had to fit in with the constraints of the CIS, which made it was meant that it was flawed.
As dictated.
Yeah, as dictated by the department.
Yes,
that's all I'm saying.
Sure.
So, Chair, just finally, I would just want to suggest that we put into the recommendation that the committee calls upon the department to undertake a very root and branch review of the CIS. And if necessary, the committee should institute its own inquiry. Because we know that we can't necessarily expect the department to be thoroughly impartial in its assessment of its own programs. We need to have somebody going in there and assessing the programs. And an update to the document that was produced by the DTI 2009 on the cooperative strategy. We need an update on that. And just like the department appointed Sizwi Nkobodo and Sazula, I think it was called, to review its programs and came up with a report which the committee thought was a good report. It should do the same thing with the cooperatives program, with the assistance of the committee.
I would agree with that, but further to that, I would say that the portfolio committee should continue with the approach that it has adopted, but at some point, the department has to come under one roof with the portfolio committee and appreciate that there is a fountain of knowledge in the portfolio committee that the department should actually be tapping into, as opposed to pulling back. Also, in terms of the investigation, I think that all of us would have noticed that it will be difficult for a department to evaluate systems, to objectively assess systems that were developed by them. And they have been implementing for the past 20 years, although they know that those systems have yielded 88% failure rate. They don't want, no one wants to be seen as a failure. So they push that to their back, that this system that we are married to has actually produced 88%, and we need to change. It may be a case of lack of capacity, but the point that I'm making is that for cooperatives to prosper and develop in this country, we need a different approach, and we also need to use this 12 to get into a deeper understanding of what is it that is supposed to be done and is not being done. Then I also have a few corrections to make here. Yes. Sure. No, we are not going to be adopting it. We will adopt it next week. But those who are remaining will still continue and engage. On page 13, ECOWA is not an incubator. It's not appointed as an incubator.
Wait.
Is it under the bullet, the paragraph that is under the bullet?
Yes, ma'am.
On the other hand, the department has officially appointed Core Holdings Pty Ltd and Wayne Hans Group Pty Ltd under its incubation support program. That's not true. The incubation support program is funded with 10 million to take a project from its inception phase to a level labekwaz khona ukusebenza abadayisi. The only funding that came from the only document that exists between ECOWA and its department is the MOU. And the only funding that has gone to COA from the department is 10% of the 350,000 for each cooperative. It is in the reply from the minister to a question from Honorable Chan. So are you going to funding? And ECOWA are a service provider in the department. Beyond the CIS, I got the appointed an incubator. The only thing that ECOWA was charged to do was to install irrigation systems, fence the 1 hectare farm, supply the seedling. It ended there. Not even assist the cooperatives to plow. It is out of ECOWA, ukuthi they are plowing. And there is a near logo, ukuthi the whole project would have died if ECOWA had not provided that scale. It was actually a participatory development approach to say, let us demonstrate and show the department what would have been the result had the department funded the technical skills need, the technical skills training needed by the cooperative. The other part that I wanted us to see is page 18. support. Go page 18. Unsuitability of land in wards. In Enyaniswane village of Ward 4. In Enyaniswane village of Ward 4. Then, land use approval by Otingweni village community in Ward 4. Ama wards in a rural setup have got different villages.
Mm-hmm.
And ama communities in those villages by a compete. Sure. That's all I wanted to say. Hmm? Then the rest for me is fine. What do I get? See, I have you.
Hello.
Put a coconut band to who look down upon. No,
it's community development training. Community development training.